Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about all the wagons, 4Runners, mini trucks, FJ40s, Land Cruisers, Tacomas, and FJ Cruisers, and maybe 100 series here and there, and a 200 series.
Tercels.
The Tercels and all the good stuff in between. Then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. Welcome to episode 209 of the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. The best off-roading 4x4 podcast on the internet, Jimmy. Did you know that?
I do now.
You do now? We have t-shirts. Yeah. No, we don't. I'm lying. We need to have t-shirts.
We can get t-shirts.
We can get t-shirts. Dirtbag Johnny does t-shirts.
Yeah.
You remember?
I think so.
I do t-shirts.
Yeah, I remember that. In their 100th episode. God. That was funny.
That was pretty good. So welcome, Jimmy, to episode 209. How are you doing, man?
Thanks. It's good. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I've been practicing my Spanish for the last week.
That's good.
Got a little sunburnt.
I was going to say, have you been practicing your darker skin tones too? Yep. Because you look a little darker.
Thank you. Yeah. I have sunscreen can only do so much.
Yeah. How's your mankini line?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to show everybody. You can start on your OnlyFans.
Yeah. My OnlyFans. Yeah. Definitely. I'll start that back up for everybody. If you're interested in that, hit me up. I'll give you my OnlyFans account.
Oh man, Jimmy needs to stay self-employed, guys. We need that OnlyFans up and running again. Anyways, here we go. So this is episode 209.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I can feel it.
Well, what's going to be fun is 210.
210 is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
I'm excited to talk to these two.
Yeah. We're going to talk. We're interviewing them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And so. This was the first type of these people that I've heard of in Ultra 4. So teaser, Ultra 4 related.
I can tell you another one.
Oh, because I just found another one after we had set up the interview with these two.
Oh.
So Bailey Cole. Oh, is another one. Who's the other one you're thinking of?
Jimmy Jack.
Jimmy Jack. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. So I think it's going to be a really fun episode. They're local to us, or completely random connection.
Yeah.
That we found with them.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll talk a little bit about that on 210 when we interview them, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys stay tuned for Monday's episode. Should be a blasty blast. This episode, though, is brought to you by Snail Trail 4x4.
And our fine fellows over on Patreon.
And our fine fellows on Patreon.
Thank
and
you.
Caffeine.
And Caffeine.
It's brought to you by Caffeine as well.
And Screwball.
And Screwball. Screwball and Caffeine. They need to make a caffeinated Screwball.
Ooh.
Let's write in.
Okay. I wonder if, yeah. Now we're going down a whole rabbit hole. Definitely.
Yeah. No, patrons, though, you guys are freaking phenomenal. We would talk about this stuff. We would do it. We would be going off-roading. We'd be going having a lot of fun out there. But we would never hit a record button if it wasn't for you guys.
No. Yeah, I think that the aspect of the community is so awesome.
It is super awesome.
To have people make fun of us and call us out on our shit.
Yeah, right.
And then we all laugh about it.
Uh-huh.
And then they make more fun of us.
Uh-huh.
But it's so much fun.
I love it. It's great. I'm a big fan. So I'm a big fan of our fans.
I am.
I'll put it that way.
Too.
That should be, I don't know if you can do that. Like a big fan and a little fan, a big fan of our fans.
I'll figure it out.
That's like trash leaves trash.
Like 8 hours on an airplane.
Perfect.
Well, I mean, I just had 8 hours on an airplane.
Yeah. Take your laptop and make some new designs for stuff.
Yeah.
Shout out to one of our good patrons though. Good buddy of ours, Lee Lim.
Yes.
He's doing a campaign to raise funds for off-roading organizations.
Yeah, I think this first batch of his is going to be allocated to Corva.
Nice. Very cool.
Yep.
California Off-Road Vehicular Association.
Good job.
I know my stuff, man. Yeah. Sometimes.
He designed, well, I designed. he came up with the idea. I designed these stickers.
Yeah.
And that's a hashtag trash leaves trash. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like a trash can, some poison oak leaves, and then a pile of trash.
Yeah.
And so trash leaves trash. It says it underneath. We designed up these stickers. His idea, his idea behind with the design. I just executed it.
Yeah.
And
you're a good executioner.
Thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
Yep. I have a black robe in the back of the car.
Good to know.
And he paid for them, made them. I don't know what service he went through, Sticker Mule or Sticker Robot or one of those. And it was Sticker Robot because he got back printing. So nice. I think they're the only ones that do that that I know of. And he's selling them on his Solve Function website.
Yeah. Super cool. And is 100% of the proceeds and revenue going to Corva from those?
Yes.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's really, really cool. He's sending me a few. I'm going to do a sticker Thursday on them whenever I get them so I can help promote it. Mm-hmm. And I'm stoked with this. I hope that more people can take advantage of things like this and give back to the communities.
I agree. I really want to get together with him and do... I think we haven't talked yet about it, but I want to do a
membership. We will right now.
We will now. do something like that along that same lines of creating a t-shirt out of that. I think the trash leaves trash is a beautiful, amazing theme.
Yeah.
For campaigns, for this kind of thing, for raising funds, for people to be aware to pick your shit up, take your shit home with you. Don't leave it out in our forests.
Right.
And I think that off-roaders are pretty good about it, but I think that there's a lot of the mass communities that get into the outdoors and outdoor recreation from COVID don't understand that. I think that they literally think that there are trash services everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's not.
No, there isn't. And I think that, you know, a lot of it comes down with education. They need to be taught. They have to get a better understanding of the community. Obviously, we're preaching to the choir here. Every single one of our friends are absolutely, you know, the perfect specimens and clean up after people. I did see actually an Instagram this morning of people that rolled up into a camp and the campfire was still going and the whole campsite was trashed.
Wow.
And so they put out the campfire. And they cleaned up the campground, which is, you know, which is kudos to them. Mm-hmm. But what is the worst thing is that somebody left it that way.
Yeah.
Right. So just, you know, don't be that guy, you know, clean up after yourself, take care, put your fire out, you know, make it so put out that you can stick your hand in the coals.
Yep.
You know, that's just be overly cautious on these things. So any screw up in the industry is just absolutely, is it exasperated? Is that the right word?
Exacerbated.
Exacerbated.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets thrown way out of context. And that's what the ammo that the people use to shut us down.
Yeah, for sure. So check it out. Solvefunction.com. There's trash leaves, trash stickers. 100% of the proceeds go to Corva for maintaining trails, fighting the Oceana Dunes fight, fighting the Carnegie fight. I think that Corva might start getting involved with the Moab fight as well.
Wow.
Which is going to be really interesting to see. There's a lot going on with our trails, and there's going to be a lot of litigations coming up and with some very long-term battles that are going to need a lot of funding.
Right.
So, go buy some stickers.
Yeah.
So that's all. That's what we got to say. Buy some stickers. Go check out solvefunction.com. And he's also on Instagram. You can hit him up. And OutsaneFJ80 on Instagram. You can hit him up there as well. So huge shout out to Lee. That's a really cool band.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We still have a giveaway going on this week.
We do.
For some 90 tooth ratchets for tool month.
Mm-hmm.
So go find the Instagram post on Snail Trail 4x4 go. I think, what is it? It's you have to leave. You have to tag two friends.
Yep.
And follow Snail Trail 4x4 and follow Gear Wrench.
Yep. And so we'll be making sure that when the winner is pulled for that, that you are following both Snail Trail and Gear Wrench, and that you tagged the two people. So
yeah,
go check that out. It's over on Instagram on the Snail Trail 4x4 one. Just find the post with the Gear Wrench tools. We'll have it up there, And let's see, we have Tool Month this month. That means we're going to have a bunch of winners throughout the month. So the patron giveaway, we're looking at 3 to 4 winners here for cool, with some really cool sets of tools. And we have the winch. What is it called? A giveaway?
Yep. We got the winch giveaway on our reviews over on iTunes. We've got, how many? 268-ish, somewhere around there, right reviews. Around there. And once we get to 500, we are giving away a winch. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go and sign up fast. We are still growing on that. We are increasing those reviews, and it won't be too long till we get to that 500 mark.
Yeah, it won't be. And we're going to start getting up into the 300 and start encouraging some more people to get in there with some swag packs as we get along here too. But here's a couple more reviews.
All right, ready.
This one is from Clara05.
Hi, Clara05.
Second time. Reviewing from my wifey's phone, in it for the winch.
Heck yeah.
From Alex.
Perfect, Alex. See, this is exactly what we're talking about. Now Alex has two entries.
Mm-hmm. His odds just doubled in winning. He went from 1 in 500 to 1 in 250.
Yes.
So that's exactly what we're talking about. Just go. That's all you got to do. It's that easy, everybody. The next one is from Rye and Dad.
Hi, Ryan, Dad.
Best 4x4 show on the internet.
Wow.
Not just a podcast anymore. Yeah. Best 4x4 show.
We just upped our t-shirt game.
Exactly. So Ian from Big Tire Garage and from Four Wheeler Network, we're coming for you, buddy.
Yeah.
We just eclipsed it.
Yeah. Hulk Designs. You Hulk guys are Designs.
You guys are gone, man. Dirt every day. Out the door.
Nope. Yeah. Snail trail. A shout out to Ian, though. Yeah. I messaged him to talk about ESOB welders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, he doesn't know me, right? No, met him. There's no way he remembers me. I met him with Jason and Chris at SEMA in the ESOB booth. You know, how many people did he talk to that day?
Yeah, seriously.
You know, I shot him a DM on Instagram and he wrote me back.
That's cool.
How cool is technology these days is badass, right? Like you can reach out to these really cool people online who know a lot and they'll message you back.
That is pretty cool. So yeah, the being able to get in touch with Ian and talk to him about welders, being able to get in touch with freaking Slauson or Jesse Haynes or Cody Addington or Kevin Jones or all these great people have a ton of knowledge through like Facebook groups that hang out on Facebook groups. You make a question on there and they respond.
Yeah.
It's super freaking cool, man. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a shout out to all those guys out there who share the knowledge with the people.
Who are outstanding individuals in the off-roading community, but they're not the best off-road show on the internet.
That is true. Sorry guys. We just claimed that title.
Yep.
So anyways, back to Ryan Dad's review. Best 4x4 show on the internet. Been with Tyler and Jimmy since the High Sierra 4x4 days.
Wow, nice.
Love the podcast and 2 episodes per week. Keep it up.
Woo.
We'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
No guarantees, but we'll keep it going as long as we can here. Next one, 1976 FJ40.
Nice.
Awesome show. Always entertaining. 2 shows a week means there's always new content. Love my Morphlight with my FJ40.
Heck yeah. So cool. Awesome.
Do you have a snail armor for an FJ40 yet?
No.
No.
I don't.
You need to work on that.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. So yeah, thanks guys. I think those are the first 2 mentions of that they really enjoy the 2 shows a week in all of our reviews that we've done.
Right. So everybody else doesn't.
Yeah, everybody else is like, no, we're tired of hearing you guys. Let's go back to 1 week.
Please.
Either that or they're like, yeah, can we get 5 a week? No, I'm going to hang myself if that happens. Yeah.
I need to make a lot more money off this podcast if that's going to happen.
Yes. So thank you guys for the support. The support is extremely appreciated. And like Jimmy said, it's really cool being a part of this community and running into you guys on trails, seeing you guys out and about, running into you at SEMA off-road events. It's pretty freaking cool.
Yes.
So
it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's surreal.
It is.
You know, you guys know everything about us, but we have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
You know, so it's funny to, you know, interact with people sometimes that way. Cause you know,
whoever, but everything about Bobcat and everything about, you know, my life for the most part. But, you know, and then I go, well, so who are you? Show me your rig.
Yeah.
You know, because I need to learn more about you.
Yeah. That happened at Rubathon, which we'll get into a little bit with Vlad and Alexi. So okay. We'll tell you about that. So yeah, super cool stuff. Thank you guys for all the support. Keep it coming and we'll keep the content and the shows coming for you guys.
Sweet.
I did just realize we passed 300 hours of podcast content.
Jeez.
That's out for listening.
Yeah.
So that's not including the stuff that got left on the editing floor and other stuff like
We've created 300 hours of podcasts.
Yeah. I think we're around 303 now with this episode, probably closer to 309, 308.
Dang.
So, yeah.
That's stupid.
Right? What are we doing with our lives? Anyway, so we do it all because of you guys. You guys support us and keep the love coming and we'll keep the content coming. So let's see. Shall we get into Rubathon?
Let's do it. I'm excited to hear about this.
It was a good trip. Nobody had issues, just the wagons. The wagons had a lot of issues and that's it.
Which wagons?
End of show. No.
He's giving us a synopsis.
I'm giving you like a synopsis, an abridged version of the show. No, Rubathon was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a long event. I don't typically do 5-day wheeling trips.
Yeah, I bet that was long.
So, and not only, I mean, it was long and it was 5 days out of the 4Runner with my father and my uncle. And you know, my dad brought his truck, his Tacoma, but my uncle didn't have a rig. So he kind of rode passenger.
Yeah.
So we had,
and this is your dad's brother,
my dad's brother. Yep. Okay. He had the Jeep at one point.
Yeah.
The pretty nicely built LJ.
Got it. Yeah.
And so he came along and just packing 5 days for 3 dudes in 2 rigs. It's a lot of crap.
It is a lot of crap.
And so it was, so I was kind of in charge of food for everybody. Okay. And I'm like, we got 3 pretty big dudes who like to eat. We like our food. And so I packed a lot of food. It ended up being way too much food.
That's better than the alternative.
It is. It's way better. That's like the last thing. I'd never want to run out of water or food on a trip. So having too much food was good. Before going on the trip, you know, the trail crew, I got invited to this. Essentially, this all started from when we interviewed Power Tank Steve and his son Tyler on one of our episodes a while back.
Episode 160.
Is that when it was?
Yeah.
Look at you go. Did you look that up and prepare for this episode? Or what?
No. Yeah. I think it was 160. A little while ago, I did a Sticker Thursday with Power Tank, and so I referenced it back to that.
Gotcha. So yeah, we did that episode with them and he mentioned that he's helping run a new run for Rubathon this year.
Cause he doesn't have his 4Runner anymore.
We made fun of him for it. So anyways,
was the guy that bought the 4Runner out on the trail?
Yes, he was. He was on the run. So
still there.
Yeah. The run ended up being with, Scott Wilson and his passenger was Dan. I forget Dan's last name. And then there was Kevin Carey who bought, Steve's old 4Runner, the red one. And Kevin is a very cool, interesting guy with a lot of history in the off-road industry.
Okay.
He was one of the Pirates of the Rubicon back when, you know, the Pirates of the Rubicon, there was initiations.
Sure.
And the famous initiations. And he was around when the founder of Pirate 4x4 came up with the idea of Pirate 4x4, creating this online forum board. And he actually talked with Kevin about the idea. And Kevin was like, fuck yeah, do it.
Nice.
So Kevin has a ton of history. He's been in Ultra 4. I think Kevin would be a really interesting interview.
Yeah.
Kevin did have a very major health issue, though, that caused him to be in a coma for 24 days.
Whoa.
It was a doctor-induced coma for 24 days to get everything under control. And now that he came out of it, I mean, it was really cool. I never really heard the story about it all. And to hear everything that the off-road communities did just for Kevin, was really freaking cool stories.
Nice.
So
yeah, we should get him on.
I think Kevin would be a really interesting interview for the podcast. We'll see if we can get him on. He has such a dry personality, and he's super quick and witty. He's kind of like Dave, okay. Forerunner Dave, right? Yeah. So I think he'd be a lot of fun. Hanging out with him for 5 days was really cool. Of course, hanging out with Tyler was really cool. And then Steve was.
How's Tyler doing?
Tyler's doing good.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about his situation, just FYI.
Okay.
But he's doing well.
Good.
He's doing good. They're working on getting rid of the Xterra. So there's a new vehicle in Tyler's future.
Oh, good.
But we can't talk about what happened to the Xterra. So if you know Tyler, reach out to him. He might tell you the story. But there also might be another vehicle, and there's going to be another vehicle in Tyler's future. Well, hopefully it's going to be something that we can all agree on, like a Bronco or something.
Yeah, maybe a Bronco.
Maybe a Bronco. I don't know. We'll see.
What is it? Now it's like a Honda Civic or something.
Yeah, it's some weird, you know, vehicle that you should not be taking into dirt. Yeah. So Tyler's doing good. He was a lot of fun to hang out with.
Good.
And then Steve was, you know, it's just Steve.
Yeah.
It's
good old Steve.
Good old Steve. No, I'm just kidding. Steve's a great guy. He was a lot of fun to hang out with. And he was kind of like the linchpin to everybody that was there.
Right.
For everything. So having
Which
Steve
makes
there,
sense.
It does, right?
Yeah.
So that was the crux of the group. And then there was me. And we kind of set everything up so that I ran sweep for the run. I was the sweeper rig for the run. And then my dad ran behind me. So
what did that make him?
The follower of the sweeper's lines.
Yeah, the handle.
The handle, the sweeper handle. I don't know. The bristles of the broom. Yeah. I don't know. But it was a lot of fun. Kevin Poole was there.
Yes.
He came on the trip. Rod Littleton was supposed to be there.
Oh.
And he ended up having to back out last minute.
Bummer.
Some emergencies came up, so he couldn't make the run. And then Kevin brought his good buddy, Mike.
Was that the white 4Runner?
That was the white 4Runner.
That thing looked badass.
You should have been there in person. You would have loved this rig.
Yeah.
So it was a white first gen 4Runner, immaculate.
Yeah.
He had the rear seats folded down.
Okay.
And behind the rear seats, he took out the floorboard and put in a custom diamond plated toolbox built into the floor.
Cool.
Super freaking cool the way he did that. And I never saw it. I didn't even know it was there until we got to camp because he had all of his stuff packed up for him and his wife up there.
Yeah.
And so we got to camp and I was like, what is that little gem? Hello. But Mike ran Ultra 4. He raced Ultra 4 for 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Something like that. And it just got to the point where in order to compete, you know, he'd finished King of the Hammers quite a few times, but in order to compete and, you know, what's that next step?
Yeah.
Which is what Kevin Jones is going through right now, right?
Sure.
What's that next step? It really comes down to having to build a whole new chassis and dumping a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
In order to really compete.
It's a bigger pocketbook.
It's a bigger pocketbook. And he was like, I just don't have that pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has an interesting story too. He did a lot of the Wii Rock races, the NorCal, NorCal Rock races.
Yeah.
And he just got to the point where he was finishing second and third all the time. And he kind of went back and forth with this other guy for first place. And it came down to the spot of, if we don't finish first in this race, I'm calling the program. And he was out ahead, first place for a really long time for the whole race. And then he went, you know, just chose a passing line in the rocks and broke everything in the trying to pass somebody in the rocks who was broken down. And got passed up then by everybody and got a DNF for that race. And so he just kind of called the program, done racing. But he's a phenomenal mechanic. His 4Runner is set up with a 5.3 LS.
Okay.
That sounds amazing.
I bet.
It sounds better than Jason's buggy.
Wow.
I'll just say that.
So it's not street legal.
Not street legal, nope.
Okay.
And he's on Dana 60 in the front and this is 14 bolt in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Three linked, I believe, in the front. No, sorry, he's on leaf springs, 4 corners.
Oh, really?
Leaf sprung, 4 wow. corners. With the not really an exo cage, but an exo pipe tube running the perimeter of the rim and the body lines. Mm-hmm. So kind of like a rock and tree protection.
Yeah, sure.
But he was running the 44-inch
pit bulls.
Pit bull rockers that were 1950 wide.
Yeah.
And he really likes snow wheeling.
That's balloon territory
that
there.
That is big, big balloon territory. I think the total volume of like three of my IROCs could have fit in one of his tires. That's how big they were. But he loves his snow wheeling. So he likes doing rocks, but he loves snow wheeling. That's where all of his passion is. So he's the guy that comes into the Rubicon in the middle of blizzards
and
camps for 3 days.
Oh, that sounds fun too.
Yeah, he comes into the springs of the Rubicon during blizzards and camps for 3 days.
I'll do that with you.
Yeah, so
as long as you make the trail.
Exactly. So we'll have him make the trail. I'll kind of pack it in, and then you can come through. And just, no, but he had a really cool, and everything was really well done on that rig. And what was funny was him and Kevin Poole have very similar rigs because they're good buddies. So they end up, anything that one of them does, they're like, hey, I found this way to do this.
Okay.
And so they end up both doing it.
Sure.
And so it's
a really Kevin cool just threw on full wets on his. Because when we met him at a Prairie City, he had Toyota axles.
Yep.
And now he's, is he 14 bolt 60?
Yep, 14 bolt 60. The same setup that Mike is with 43 inch TSLs.
Dang.
So he has pretty much the same tires that Jason has on his buggy.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're stickies.
Okay.
But he still has a 22 RE in it.
Yeah.
But he has a 5.3 LS sitting in his garage.
I was going to say all those squirrels are running overtime.
Yeah. So it was really cool wheeling with those guys. Kevin, just hanging out and getting to know Kevin over 5 days, 4 days, because they left on Saturday, but was really neat.
Yeah, I'm sure. Is that why there was extra bottles of Screwball down here?
That's exactly why there's extra bottles
of Screwball. I was like, I don't remember us having this many bottles of Screwball in the shop.
We have a lot of bottles of Screwball in the recording studio now. But it was really fun. There was another guy, Nick, and his son Jack, who were in the 4th Gen 4Runner that Steve from Rancho Toyota Recycling
used to have the
black one.
Okay, yeah.
So Nick now has it. It was fun to kind of crawl around that rig, and I spent a good amount of time checking out his drivetrain and how is all of his suspension, everything is set up.
Okay, cool.
And then Scott has a 1st Gen 4Runner on 37s and ORIs linked, and with the 3RZ swap in it.
Oh, cool.
And his was probably the cleanest 4Runner out there.
Oh, wow.
It was immaculate. It was beautiful. Mike's was done really well, but Mike's is done like just over. It's above and beyond. Like Scott's build is a Toyota build. Immaculate Toyota build.
Was he running Toyota axles?
I believe so, actually. Okay. Now that I don't know if I actually like crawled and confirmed that, but I believe he was.
Well, if it's a... What year was it, the 4Runner?
It was 1st Gen.
1st Gen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
With a 3RZ swap in it. So it did really, really well. It was fun to see all of the rigs. And then Steve and Tyler from Power Tank brought their JL.
Wow.
Which is funny because I kind of poked fun at Steve before the trip. We would call and kind of, you know, make sure everyone's on the same page. And I was like, dude, you're going to get picked apart that you're at a Toyota event with a JL. And if nobody does, I'm going to pick you apart. Yeah. And so he laughed and he goes, oh man, I'm going to have Tyler fix that. So they had a bunch of fun little nuggets of decals on the JL, like the back rear windows, the quarter panel windows.
Uh-huh.
It had a Toyota emblem, a big old Toyota emblem, and said JRD Pro.
JRD Pro.
JRD, because it's a JL TRD Pro.
Yeah.
And then he did a Toyota emblem like up on the hood.
Okay.
Like the Rolls Royce ladies would be on the top of the hood. Yeah. So he had a Toyota emblem sticking up out of the hood.
Nice.
And he had a, what was it? The 22 RE sticker that's on the front of the valve cover gaskets of the 22 REs. He had a couple of those. And I forget what they said. It was like 3.5 RE.
Oh, really?
For the 3.5 Pentastar engine.
Yeah.
So it was a 3.5 RE sticker on the right below the A-pillars.
That's funny.
And there was a couple other fun little nuggets that they hit on the vehicle.
That's super funny.
But I was like, oh, you guys are hilarious.
That just shows the humor of Power Tank.
Absolutely.
Right? That they're in it for the wheeling, not brand. You know, it doesn't matter. They went with the JL because it's a popular vehicle. It's a new vehicle and it shows off their brand really well, obviously. Absolutely. You know, but they're wheelers at heart, which is great. Yeah.
Steve is still a Toyota person at heart. He made a few comments throughout the 5 days of, he's like, yeah, you know, it's, we have the Jeep, we have the Gladiator, and, you know, because of all the events we go to, that's the most of our customers. Mm-hmm. He goes, but it's super nice to be back at a Toyota event.
Yeah.
And he was like, just, I love being at Toyota events.
So Tyler needs to get the JL and Steve needs to get a Toyota.
Yeah.
New Tundra.
He needs to get either a new Tundra or import a Land Cruiser 200 or 300. Yeah.
Now you're talking.
So if they can import a Land Cruiser 300, they would kill it in sales. Just saying, Steve. So, no, it was a ton of fun hanging out with that group. For the days, we had a very early start. We were the first group to leave the spillway Thursday morning. So we had to leave the spillway at 7 a.m.
Okay.
So I made breakfast burritos for all the trail crew so that we could pack up from the campground we were at, Wednesday night. We all met, you know, Wednesday evening, Wednesday afternoon, and then packed up at, like, we all woke up at 5 a.m. Thursday morning, got everything packed up and got over to the spillway by 6 a.m.
Nice. So not only were you feeding your dad and your uncle, but now you're feeding the trail crew.
We fed the trail crew that breakfast as well.
Dang.
And then the 6:30 came is when all the participants started showing up. And we went through tech inspections and radios, got all the radios set up, ready to go, got everybody aired down and on the trail. And we got on the trail at 7 a.m., which was pretty
good. Impressive.
Nobody was late.
That's good.
It was very good. Usually at off-road events, you've always got a couple stragglers and you're not getting on the trail until really like 7:15 to 30, right, somewhere in there. Got on the trail. Beautiful day. Absolutely gorgeous until noon.
Uh-huh.
And then we got thunderstorms between noon and 3 p.m. Yeah.
Wow.
And we were going around Buck Island at that time.
Okay.
So there's a few spots around Buck Island that they just get pretty no traction at all.
Yeah,
once slippery. They're a little wet. So there was a lot of winching around Buck Island. But otherwise, it was a pretty uneventful day on the trail. For our run, at least, I should say.
Okay.
We made everybody into the springs, and we had, I think, 13 rigs in our run.
Nice.
Made everybody. That's
a decent size, big group.
It's a decent group. Everybody made it in. I was sweeper with my dad, so we made it in at 6:30 into the springs.
Oh, cool.
Which is a pretty good time.
Long day.
It's a long day, but it's a good time for running an off-road event.
Yes.
Like if you're just running
for 13 rigs, that's a good time.
And with more traffic on the trail from the event, it's a pretty good time. So it was a great day. We ended up, I think it's the trail crew. Trail crew did awesome, but we were the only run during Rubathon that had zero carnage.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a great run considering how much carnage everybody else had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dang. What was some of the carnage highlights?
So there was the wagon run, which is all the big SUVs, right? So the FJ80s, the FJ Cruiser, the Land Cruiser 100 series. Those guys, they started with 26 rigs, something like that. And 8 of them did not make it into the springs.
Dang.
The attrition rate on those guys was very high. So they had a lot of issues. Was it the IFS run? I don't remember. I think it was the IFS run. That tour guide Taco.
Oh.
Brian.
Yeah.
I think he was leading that run.
Was he? IFS. He's not IFS though.
He's not. He's a solid axled first gen Tacoma. Very nice build.
Very nice build.
Super cool guy. And so I ran into him. I was coming out of Dirty Dozen and heading up to back to our campsite. We camped up by the helipads in the springs.
Okay.
I was heading out of Dirty Dozen. He was heading into the Dirty Dozen, the slabs area. And I just came up. I was like, "Hey, that's Brian." So I jumped out of the rig and went over and said hi to him. He's just filthy. His face is dirty. He's got grease and oil on his face. His hands are just all oily and greasy and black.
Yeah.
And I was like, "How'd you do?" And
he goes, "Day, huh?"
He goes, it was a really long 2 days because we were almost the only run that had a single day run. Everybody else pretty much did a 2 day trip into Buck and then into the Springs.
Right.
And so I was like, ooh, what happened? He goes, let's see. He goes, we had a fried alternator.
Okay.
A blown radiator hose, lower radiator hose. We slashed three tires.
Wow.
And we had two drive shafts go implode on the same vehicle.
What? At the same time?
No, it was the rear drive shaft on a Land Cruiser 100 series.
Uh-huh.
He candy caned it and it just crumpled it up, and they tried to pull it apart and fix it and reweld it, but the only thing they had to do it with was like stainless steel exhaust pipe.
Yeah, that won't work.
Yeah, and so within like 5 minutes of getting him back up and running, he crumpled the stainless steel exhaust pipe. I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it took them a while to get him into the Springs, but they did it.
Wow.
They got him into the Springs. So yeah, he was just, you could tell he was tired. He needed a nap for a little bit there before going back to
swimming in the river.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun though. Some highlights of the trip was A, getting in with no carnage, and then hearing about everybody else's carnage. And we were like, I think that 4Runner mini truck run, which is a brand new run, did just awesome. And I think next time though, I think we need to come in a day later. I don't know. I'm conflicted about that because we made it into the Springs and spent two full days in the Springs
with nobody else there.
Right. Exactly. So,
if you left a day later, we'd
get caught in the traffic.
Catch up to everybody.
Yeah. We'd catch up to everybody and get caught in all the traffic. But, we had a very capable group. Everybody in our group was solid axled. Everybody in our group had lockers front and rear and at least 35s. And so, we just kind of motored along and it was great. It was a slow pace, but it was just a bunch of Toyotas with dual cases going down the Rubicon Trail. And that's, that's what happens.
Yep. That's a mini truck 4Runner.
Exactly. Exactly. but it was a lot of fun, super cool guys to hang out with. Some of the highlights was, Kevin Poole. He broke his cross member.
Whoa.
So he has a cross member very similar to how yours is set up.
Okay. Yeah.
Where it just bolts into the back of his T case.
Yeah.
Now, if my club, the Mad Hatters, we give out an award called the Boner Award.
Yep.
And it's for somebody who has a preventable break on the trail, typically.
Okay.
Or makes an interesting decision on the trail.
Sure.
And so Kevin, I'm nominating for the Snail Trail Boner Award.
No.
Because he built the cross member and the skid plate for his T case like the night before leaving, along with his rear shock hoops. Rear shock hoops worked great, no problems whatsoever. But because he ran out of time to build his skid plate and everything, he welded his skid plate to his frame and the cross member.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in order to get access to repair his broken and sheared cross member, we had to cut off his skid plate first.
Nice one.
Good job, Kevin. Yeah.
So when was that?
That was on Friday. We made a trip down to Dirty Dozen to just kind of check out Dirty Dozen, show it to my dad and my uncle, and go swimming and have lunch down there and everything. And while we were sitting there, we noticed that Kevin was leaking a little bit of oil. So he traced it back and found out that his cross member was broken in half, sheared in half, and it was backing out his T-case bolts.
Yep.
So we were like, oh. And then we started looking. We're like, we're going to have to cut this whole skid plate off in order to get access to it. And then we realized that when he installed his skid plate, he scored it about a third of the way through so he can bend it and kind of bend it into place. And we're like, okay, if we cut in that score, we can cut along that score and then cut all the tack welds on the outside. We should be able to just pull off that one section there and get access to the cross member.
Okay.
And so that's what we did. And while we were doing that, the rest of our group was back in camp comparing welders. So Scott had bought a bun welder.
Okay.
Mike travels with a Ready welder all the time. And then Steve had a Premier on his old 4Runner. So Kevin had a Premier on his 4Runner. So they were all back at camp playing with welders and comparing welders while we went down for lunch to Dirty Dozen. And we ended up calling back up to them and was like, hey guys,
any of you guys have a welder?
Essentially, but I had my Premier.
Okay.
And so I was like, hey, you know, we can run a grinder and we can take all care of everything here with the tools we have here. But if we had more hands, it would go a lot quicker.
Right.
So we called up and was like, hey guys, is Mike available to come down? Because Mike and Kevin know each other very well. They mm-hmm. work very similarly. They have very similar ideas.
Yeah.
They see fabrication very similarly. And so Mike came down and freaking Mike. So with his big V8, right? He comes through the water crossing there at Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people swimming there at the water crossing. And Mike is just kind of cruising, just creeping right along, normal pace. Once he gets about halfway, he stops and then just hammers down the throttle through the rest of the water crossing and just creates these massive, they weren't massive waves, but pretty good waves.
Yeah.
Everybody that was swimming there had all of their stuff, their shoes, their clothes, their towels, their phones.
All got wet.
All sitting right there next to the water.
Yeah.
Now, granted, to them, they should know that that's a vehicle water crossing, so you don't want to put your stuff right at the water's edge.
Right.
But then Mike also shouldn't have gunned it going across the water.
Right.
And so all the people start yelling at him, and he's like, whoa, okay, I'm sorry. And then he got up and parked and went back down to apologize in person. And one of the guys was like just getting really feisty with him and looked like they were going to get in a fight. And Mike was just like, you know what? I've apologized. There's nothing more I can do. And just turned around and walked away with the guy still yelling at him. And so we were like, yeah, okay.
Well, kudos to Mike for not continually yes. instigating that.
Yes.
You know, yeah, okay, you shouldn't have done it. And I think they now all parties have learned their lesson.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, but turn your cheek or whatever.
Yeah, turn whatever say. It is. So anyways, he came up and by the time Mike had got there, I was using my grinder to cut off the welds off of my Premier. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. It was the first time I got to really use my Premier for metal work.
Yeah.
And it worked awesome for grinding.
Cool. Did you have to have your dad or uncle sitting in the seat to hold the throttle up or?
Nope. I have a throttle cable installed.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it worked great. I was able to hold the throttle at exactly where it needed to be. And then I used a couple of rocks for parking brakes.
Yep. Good work.
Yep. And so that was really neat. We ended up using 1.5 cutoff wheels and then to get to the cross member. And then I was like, hey, let's pull the cross member off really quick. It'll be easy. Once we have it off, it's going to be super easy to weld and get it and make back to new pretty sure. much with the tools we have. And they're like, no, I don't want to, because if we don't get it perfectly straight, it could cause extra stress. I was like, yeah, I can see that. Okay. And they're like, we can access it here on the back of the TK. So I was like, all right, whatever you want to do, it's your rig. And so I start pulling out the stick welder, the stick leads. I go and get some 6011 because it's all kind of dirty from the oil and we couldn't get a grinder, a flapper disc up there to really clean everything. So I pulled out some 6011, got it all set up. And they're like, they're kind of looking at it and they're like, oh, we're not really good at stick welding. I was like, I'm not either, but this is the setup's here. It's good to get, it's ready to go. And this is going to give you just as clean of a weld, if not cleaner than the ready welder, just because it's dirty. We can't clean it. And they were like, oh, you know, we're just going to use the ready welder. I'm like, okay, so whose batteries are we pulling then? Because you got to pull some batteries. And they're like, well, we'll just pull ours. And I was like, yeah, because you're not pulling mine. I got, it's up there. It's not coming down. So we spent an extra hour and a half pulling batteries and setting up the ready welder and trying to get the thing as clean as we could and everything. I was like, you know what? I appreciate it. It's his rig. You guys can do that. If it was me, I would have just used the Premier because it was all there, set up, ready to go.
Yeah.
Good to go. So, but they did it. They welded it up with some angle iron. So they put some angle iron across and welded each side of the angle iron and called it good. And everything worked out just fine. And I think Kevin's good to go. He may be OCD about his stuff and pulling it all apart right now as we speak.
Yeah. I was curious if you think that was a trail fix that's going to stick.
No, not with Kevin.
No.
Both Kevin and Mike are two guys that will not let trail fixes stick. So they it was funny, every time we were stopped on the trail, Kevin was immediately out of his rig, climbing around, looking at stuff.
Oh wow!
The whole time, and I was like, I get it. I do that from time to time. I'll check things out. But at some point, I'm like, I didn't feel like he was enjoying the off roading.
Yeah, but it was a fresh build.
It was his first time out on that build.
So I think he was more of the fresh build. Like, what is going wrong? If everything's all right, is things staying where they should be? What's happening?
Totally.
So,
I get that. I was doing that. When we did Barrett Lake on mine, mm-hmm. when we first swapped all the drivetrain axles over,
yeah.
I was doing that every stop. So I get it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was one big highlight. The Saturday was just kind of hang out and fix stuff. And then we hung out in the river for like another hour and a half after that. So it was really neat to, hang out and chat with Kevin one-on-one and kind of learn about his background, his family, about his kids, and more about his job and how he got into fabricating and building off-road vehicles like he does. And so it was really neat to do that. So we did that and then went back and had dinner. Dinners were interesting because the way we did it was each kind of rig of the trail crew did dinner one night. So there were essentially three groups of the trail crew. And so we did the breakfast burritos for breakfast, and then we did hot dogs, beans, and potato macaroni salad for the dinner for everybody. But then after we did those two meals, all the other dinners were covered by other people.
Okay, cool.
Which is really neat.
Yeah.
So Steve and Tyler did kind of a teriyaki chicken bowls.
Nice.
And then Dan and Scott did tri-tip. And then the same beans and macaroni and potato salad that I did, which is pretty funny.
That's funny.
but it all worked out great. We ended up leaving with a lot of food because not only the food, but the whiskey. So I went with two bottles of whiskey, Old Elk and a bottle of Screwball.
Okay.
I came back with half a bottle of Old Elk and then three full bottles of Screwball. Half a bottle of Buffalo Trace.
What? Where's that?
That's at home. Oh. I kept that one. But there should be down there the bottle of Old Elk and two bottles of Screwball.
Yep. I'll probably take this one home.
Yeah, go for it. but I found out that Costco sells Screwball. I believe it's Costco. And they sell that bottle and the 1 liter. So it's a 750 and the 1 liter. The 1 liter there is a dollar more than the 750.
Holy cow. Yeah, okay.
So apparently that's all that Kevin buys now.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him. but the Screwball was really interesting. At the campground we stayed at Wednesday night, I'm not saying which campground it was because the camp host was amazing. And she came out and drank with us and got us drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, she was amazing. Best camp host ever, hands down.
That's awesome.
And so she came out with iced, what'd she have? She had iced Fireball or no, Jack Fire.
Jack Fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
She had that and something else. I don't remember what it was, but gave us all shots of both of them. And then we were like, oh, have you ever tried Old Elk? And she goes, no. And so I brought out the Old Elk and we all had some shots of that. And then we're like, what about? And then she started talking about some peanut butter whiskey. And because we were like, oh, yeah, Old Elk has peanut butter whiskey. And she goes, oh, I love peanut butter whiskey. I had this other stuff. It was like it was kind of like Fireball, Ball, something. I was like, Screwball. She goes, yes. And I was like, I have some of that too. And she goes, oh, my God, have you ever had a peanut butter jelly sandwich shot? A peanut butter jelly shot. And I was like, no. What is it? She goes, you just take Screwball and then put cranberry juice in it.
This sounds really bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, that wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. That I still bad. Prefer the straight Screwball.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be more interesting with like a raspberry liqueur or something like that. Or maybe like Screwball with a tiny, tiny bit of
grenadine.
Hmm. Maybe. But like it wasn't bad. But she was hilarious.
Okay.
Amazing. So I'm not going to say which campsite it was because I don't want her to possibly get in trouble.
Sure.
But she was amazing. So, we had that. Saturday night was the teriyaki chicken bowl dinner night. Sunday, I got a little bored because we're still waiting for everybody to really come into the Springs, right?
They're still Sunday?
No, everybody came in Saturday evening. Okay. So Sunday, though, was more of everybody's there. Everybody's going and doing hiking stuff. There was a few activities.
Did it go till Monday?
No, you're correct. Saturday. So Thursday and Friday is when everybody came in. The sweeper run, which is typically done by Marlin, and that's the goal of the sweeper run, is Marlin comes in and welds everybody up along the way and kind of picks up everybody and brings them into the Springs.
Sure.
Marlin's having health issues still. And so Yoda Man.
Oh, really?
Yoda Man did the sweeper run this year.
Cool. That's nice of him.
He has a really cool build.
I'm sure.
It's amazing. Tons. All of his bumpers are stainless steel. Are stainless.
Why?
Just because he can.
Okay.
It looks really good. He had a truggy with the whole back was like a toolbox kind of setup.
Nice.
On his truggy. But he had the 4.7 liter Tundra engine in there.
Oh.
That sounded like Jason's buggy.
Nice.
It was cool. Really freaking cool setup. So Larry, I got to, you know, meet and talk with Larry, who's Yoda Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with him a little bit about 3-4 swaps and refereeing. And he was like, he gave me some things to look out for, which is cool. But Larry did the sweeper run. He also each night didn't get enough wheeling. So he would like go up and down the trail. He went and ran Big Sluice by himself one night and then turned around and went up and down Cadillac by himself.
Nice.
Just because he was bored and wanted more wheeling.
Okay.
So Larry's super cool. I met Mark from Metal Tech.
Oh, cool.
Who I never knew about Metal Tech before.
No?
No.
How?
I have no clue.
Serious?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
So I started talking to him. I'm like, "What do you do with Metal Tech?" And he started explaining it all. I'm like, "Why have I not heard of you? This is something I should have heard of."
Yeah.
Like,
what does he do?
He does a lot of. He specializes in Land Cruiser parts, mainly 40s.
Okay.
But it's a lot of bumpers, skids, fabrications. Anything you can fabricate for a 40, he can do.
Wow.
They do, and they're starting to get into a lot of other stuff too.
Nice.
But yeah. They're a full machine fabrication shop. They do custom one-off stuff. He's going to be another really good interview.
Yeah. Metal Tech, they do a whole bunch. They're a Toyota fab shop for the most, or yes. Fat parts supplier of fab stuff, but focused on Toyotas primarily.
Yes. Yep.
I know that, Anna FJ Anna.
Yeah.
One of her main sponsors is Metal Tech.
Nice.
And she had Metal Tech sliders and Metal Tech bumpers and all that stuff for her FJ Cruiser.
Yep. So they are getting a couple Broncos.
Are they?
And they're going to start doing stuff for Broncos as well.
Good.
So, So Mark, wealth of knowledge, really cool guy, the owner. And I ended up winning his main prize that he donated for the raffle.
No way.
It was cool. An outdoor kind of go bag backpack.
Yeah.
Molly panels all over it, stuff full with prepared and wilderness preparedness stuff.
Nice.
So really cool thing. And really cool guy. So I'm going to be interested in getting him on the podcast.
Is he local?
No, I think they're up in Washington.
Yeah. I didn't think they were local.
Yeah. They're up in Washington. But one cool thing that he did was he went out to a few events in, I think, 2019 on the East Coast.
Okay.
And what he did was he raffled off trips to the Rubicon during Rubathon.
Oh.
So he flew out two guys from the East Coast. They were from, I believe, Virginia.
Okay.
They flew out, he all on his expense, on his dime, put them up in the campground, same campground as we were, and let them run two of the Metal Tech FJ40s through the Rubicon for Rubathon.
Dude, that's cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we need more funding for Snail Trail so we can do that for people.
We need more rigs.
We need more rigs, yeah.
Well, maybe Samantha or Bobcat.
Yeah. Or maybe Kermit, if I get up the courage to bring the Bronco through.
On a Toyota run?
On a Toyota run, yeah.
Hey, you're pull if a Steve
can pull a JL through a Rubicon. Yeah,
but you're not Steve.
That's true.
Steve's like an A-list.
He is an A... Dude, in the Toyota world, he is the A-list celebrity. Mm-hmm. He's up there with Marlin and Yoda Man and George Estes from Valley Cruisers. George was there.
Was he?
I didn't get to meet him, though. It was a bummer. But George came in and fixed a bunch of people on his way in. He ended up winning the go-to man award, something like that.
Cool.
He brought in a spare transfer, like two spare transfer cases. He brought in a couple third members for people. Like, he brought in a ton of shit.
Dang.
For people.
What did he just like bring it in a trailer and leave it at the spillway and then have to go back and get it? He like in his cruiser, he brought it out.
In his cruiser, he brought. So he came in pretty much on Friday with like the sweeper run with Yoda Man. Yoda Man ended up going back through the trail from the springs. He was already there. So for the sweeper run, quote unquote, he went all the way back to the trail and then brought everybody in.
Of course he did.
But George Estes kind of did the same thing. So he came in with a bunch of stuff Friday morning that this was one of the busiest weekends I've ever heard on the repeater for broken parts and trying to get parts into the trail.
Dang.
And so George brought in a lot of the parts on Friday to people throughout his run. A lot of fun, met a lot of really cool people. There was Vlad and Alexi.
Yes, I was going to remind you about them.
So while I was in the, while we were down at Dirty Dozen working on Kevin, two guys walked up and they're like, are you Tyler? And I was like, yeah. They're like, oh my God. So I just listened to how the driver's side of Kermit got all mangled. And I was like, oh my God. And they're like, this is really neat to kind of see it in person now, hear the story and now see it in person. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So you guys are listening to this. Yeah. And they, so we hung out and talked for a little bit. They have a really nice 2018 4Runner that they brought through the trail.
Dang.
Yeah.
Was it still nice when I got there?
Pretty well. Yeah. They did a really good job.
Cool.
There was another 2018 Tacoma, I believe, that came through that was great, looked great at Loon Lake. It didn't look so great when he got to the springs.
Oh.
Had every body panel was dented.
Oh.
Coming into the springs.
Ouch.
So, Alexi and Vlad, shout outs to those guys. So they were really cool getting to meet them. And again, running into the listeners is something that I get a big kick out of.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else did we get to meet?
You know, what's great about that. And I might be throwing myself under the bus here a little bit, but, you know, when we do go out wheeling, and I really haven't been wheeling as much as I have in the past year, I'll put myself under the bus right now for that one. But it's fun to meet the people, meet our listeners. And that's something that Wheeling Wine and Whiskey just doesn't do.
They don't do that. They don't get the opportunities to.
Yeah.
They don't give themselves the opportunity.
They don't go out to these events. They don't go out and wheel. You know, they go do their own thing. Like, they go with their friends to go off and do trail maintenance or whatever, you know? And so they already know everybody, but they're not expanding their community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame on them.
Yes.
Maybe they should take tips from colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Colonoscopy.
Whatever it was.
And anoid.
I wonder if those are the same person.
I don't know. They sounded kind of similar.
They did.
Yeah. That Italian guy that called asking about Kermit's body stuff, he can go, you know, blow some smoke. I'm not paying any bills.
No.
So I'm just going to go and pick Kermit back up. we love you guys. So anyways, that was fun. Sunday, they had the activities in camp. There was horseshoe tournaments. There was a winching class. I did the programming your radios. So people showed up with their radios and we programmed a good amount of them.
Yeah.
Yaesu does this really annoying thing where they don't standardize their programming process on their radios because you have to put their radios into a cloning mode in order to program them. Every other manufacturer pretty much just, you don't need to go into cloning mode usually. You just kind of, and if you do, it's the same way to do it every time.
Yeah.
Yaesu, you have to hold down a specific button on the radio and turn the power on in order to get to the advanced menu, which then gets into the cloning mode. And one of the newest Yaesu radios that one of the guys had didn't even have it in the manual how to get into cloning mode. It said, in order to clone and program your handheld, you need to purchase the advanced manual.
So oh my
that
gosh.
You can get the instructions on how to manually program your...
Is that because they're trying to protect themselves from people unlocking the radios and using frequencies that shouldn't be used?
I don't think so, because to unlock a Yaesu radio, you have to open it up and take a resistor off of the circuit board.
No.
So I'm just like, wow. So unfortunately, I couldn't program two radios because Yaesu we couldn't figure out how to get into their cloning modes.
Oh, interesting.
But it was a lot of fun. I got to talk to John Arnes quite a bit over the repeater.
Nice.
And we got to talk to a few other people over the repeaters. I ran APRS the whole time. So the APRS tracking worked great. I got back home and checked out my tracks for the weekend, and you could see a beautiful breadcrumbs, essentially, of where I was mm-hmm. for the whole weekend. What was really neat was I made use of the APRS texting.
Oh, cool.
So from in camp Saturday night, because okay. Kevin...
At the Springs.
Yeah. Friday night.
Okay.
Kevin, because he had broken his cross member, he was like, I don't want to wheel out by myself, because he was going to wheel out by himself Friday, and he had a bachelor party to get to. Mm. But he was like, I don't want to wheel out by myself with a broken cross member or a trail fixed cross member on a fresh build.
Right.
And so we...
Well, what about Mike?
Mike was leaving Saturday.
Oh.
So Kevin ended up going out with Mike Saturday.
Okay.
So Kevin's wife was expecting a phone call from him Friday afternoon mm-hmm. to tell her that he made it off the trail and he's now headed up to the bachelor party.
Right.
And the bachelor party guys were expecting him Friday evening.
Sure.
And that all didn't happen.
Right.
So we texted his wife and the bachelor party guys through APRS from sitting down at the helipads in the Rubicon Springs.
Right.
And his wife got the text message and his bachelor party guys got the text message.
That's cool.
So his wife was like, okay, I'm not going to get a call from Kevin Friday afternoon. I'll get a call from him Saturday afternoon or evening once he's off the trail. And the bachelor party guys knew that he wasn't coming to the bachelor party.
Bummer.
So, but the APRS texting worked. It worked great. It communicated the message and nobody had to worry about where Kevin was.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was really cool. And that was the first time I had really actually used that. Well, I guess not, because I used that system for when I broke my knuckleball that's on the Schlamp here in front of mm-hmm. us. but it worked out phenomenally. It worked the first time and we had no issues with it and it was cool.
Nice.
And then there was a few auto patch calls done throughout the weekend because people had broken on Sunday or whatever, and they weren't going to get off the trail until Monday. So John Arnes and Frank Yost and Barb Arnes were all busy Sunday making auto patch phone calls through the repeater for people. So that was fun to listen to.
Yeah.
But I was really, 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 really impressed with everybody leaving the event, the mass exodus on Sunday. There was about 150 rigs total down in the Springs between the Springs, the Slabs, and Dirty Dozen. And everybody in camp was really, really concerned with how we're all going to get off the trail. Who's going to have the easiest time getting off the trail with the mass exodus? So we all three of our groups kind of came up with different plans. So Scott and Dan went back through the trail, back to Loon Lake, because that's where the trailer was. They trailered. And they were going to leave at 6 a.m.
Okay.
from our camp area. Steve from Power Tank, Kevin, and Nick in the 4th-gen 4Runner were going to go up Cadillac. And they were going to leave at 6 a.m.
Okay.
And then I was like, I would hate to get up at 3:30, 4:30, something like that, to get everything packed up to leave at 5 to 6 just to kick out in traffic on Cadillac. Like, try do all this effort to beat the crowds and then not beat them and get stuck there. And so we were going up Cadillac for sure, because my uncle has never seen Cadillac and I don't think my dad has either. I think he's always gone in and out of the trail. And so I was like, we're going to do Cadillac. And I was like, we're going to do a late Cadillac run. We're going to plan on leaving camp around 10.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll work out well. What was interesting about this year was that this is the first year they ran spotters on Cadillac. So the Tahoe High Lows off-road club came down from Tahoe and set up spotters all along Cadillac Hill.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that was going to move traffic along really easily and quickly. I was also counting on everybody was not really local like I was, and they had longer drives, so they were going to get up really early and try and beat the crowds, quote unquote. So we have those three plans, and everybody was going to text and get in touch with each other and say who had the least amount of drive time from camp back to Sacramento. Because we figured once everybody got to Sacramento, everyone would be going different ways.
Different ways, sure.
And so we won. We won the total drive time.
Oh, really?
Dan and Scott made it back through the trail in 6 hours. So they left at 6 a.m. They were loaded on their trailers by 11:30 at Loon, went swimming in Loon Lake just to bathe and clean off, and then headed down the trail. And they had about an hour and a half to 2 hours back to Sacramento. So they had a total of about 8 hours of drive time.
Okay.
Power Tank and that group and the early Cadillac group took them about 7 hours, 6.5 to 7 hours to get back to Sacramento. It took us 5.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it took us from the camp to observation point was just under 1 hour. It was like 58 minutes. So
dang, you were flying.
Coming up Cadillac during a mass exodus of an off-roading event, I was amazed at how quickly it went. So huge kudos and shout out to Rubathon and the High Lows for having the traffic controllers, the spotters on Cadillac on Sunday.
That's cool.
It was super, super useful. And so from there, we just made it out and we had lunch at Sunny's Barbecue, my favorite lunch spot in South Lake Tahoe. And being able to get in there for lunch after a nice, relaxing late start to the morning was super cool because I was thinking we weren't going to get into South Lake until like 3 to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
And so we made it in there right around 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Sweet.
Which is pretty cool. And then we just made it on home. We had no traffic in Placerville pretty much, which was amazing. I thought we were going to have another half an hour, 40 minutes delay in Placerville. Not really any traffic there. And motored on down and had a great trip with like no traffic coming out of the mass exodus from an off-roading event on the Rubicon. And it was a phenomenal trip.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. That I'm bummed that I missed it, but I am not bummed that I missed
it. Yeah, right. Yeah. It would have been interesting. I think if I did it again, I would either want to have a full physical booth to hang out at for more flight in the podcast and everything.
Okay. Yeah.
That way I just have a place to be and people can know what I'm doing there.
Right.
And come over and talk and hang out, to help fill some of the downtime. But otherwise I would want more stuff to do. I think that I want to camp near the river next time, rather than up at a helipad.
Yeah.
Just because it was so nice to be hanging out down in the river each day when we did go down there.
Yeah. What was the temperature like?
It was high 70s, oh, high 70s, nice. Low 80s for the whole time we were there. And so just lounging and sitting in the river and hanging out and talking with people was the highlight of the trips, of the highlight of the camp time for me.
Right.
Yeah. And then the raffle was a lot of fun. Kudos to them. They made the raffle go by really nice and quick and easily, even though Yoda Man won half of the prizes.
Did he really?
Yeah, he bought a lot of tickets. You know, and it's all in support for TLCA, right?
Yeah.
So all the money that goes into it is just, it's monetary funds and support for the Toyota Land Cruiser Association, which they then get to use to put back into our trails and back into off-roading nationwide. So, Steve at one point fell out of his chair at the raffle, which was hilarious.
Was there a reason?
He got up because he won the horseshoe tournament.
Okay.
Him and his partner won the horseshoe tournament. So on his way back with his plaque, he was like jogging.
Okay.
And he sat down in his chair a little overzealous and it tipped over backwards.
Oh.
So everybody's watching him and it was a good time.
That's funny.
Our group was that group at the event of hecklers.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
It should be. And it was just funny. Ross, the chair that was kind of organized and ran the whole event. By the end of it, he was like, oh my God, guys, can you just stop it for a little while so we get through this raffle? So we can
finish.
Exactly. And we're just all sitting there drinking and we were the heckler group.
Good.
And it was a good time.
Nice.
So one of the families in our group, the guy teaches auto shop at a college.
Oh.
And so, or was it mechanic, whatever it is, mechanic shop, auto shop at a college, something like that. And he has a couple of just completely destroyed drive shafts.
Okay.
And so I was talking with him about the podcast and the new studio setting up, and he goes, yeah, and when I'm teaching, you know, I love pulling out and showing people what happens when you bind up your drivetrain or shock load your drivetrain. You get drive shafts like this, and they're just too gnarled, just twisted up and destroyed drive shaft. And I was like, you have two of those? He goes, yeah. And I was like, would you want to donate one to a studio? And so I told him what we were doing. He goes, yeah, absolutely. And so cool. I got their, one of the family members' phone numbers, got in contact with them. They're passing along my contact information to him, so I can get in contact with him, and he's going to ship us one of the drive shafts.
Right on. That'll be awesome.
To hang up in the studio.
Sweet.
So a lot of fun. They definitely missed you. You were mentioned in the raffle because we gave away three of the Snail Trail gift boxes.
Yep.
So there were two from Jimmy's box,
yes,
and one from Tyler's box.
Correct.
And so we got the shout out for Snail Trail 4x4, and they said that, you know, you couldn't be there because you were getting married. And there were a couple people that were like, aw.
like two people.
Yeah. There was a two person audible awe in the audience. And then we did a couple more flights for the giveaway, nice, which generated some questions.
I'm
people
sure.
were like, what the hell is a Morphlite?
Yeah.
And so that was fun to get to then explain it, what it was. And we're looking at doing the 4Runner run again next year. It was the first time the 4Runner quote unquote run was done. And it was Steve's idea to try and get a younger crowd into TLCA.
Okay.
And buying memberships to help support TLCA and off-road organizations. Because typically the first gen 4Runners, second gen 4Runners, the crowd that are doing more of the extreme rock crawling, with the mini trucks and the, you know, the cheap vehicles that you can beat up, they typically don't go and buy memberships with off-road organizations.
Right.
So it's one of his ways to try and get younger crowds involved in the TLCA and involved in Rubathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do it again next year.
Nice.
So if anybody wants to plan on doing Rubathon next year, we're going to be doing the 4Runner mini truck run again. Highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun. It's obviously the best group to go in if you don't want to have a bunch of carnage on the trail. I'm just kidding. I'm giving everybody a hard time. But yeah, we're going to be doing it again next year. Plan for it.
Nice. So. That's exciting. And if everything goes to plan, I'll be there next year.
Yay. Nice. We'll take it over. We can tell Ross, because he's going to be the chair again.
Okay.
And we'll see if he wants us to be the MCs for the raffle and everything.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
For sure. I will tell the assistant that this is going to be our anniversary trip.
Perfect. And that's what I was messing. I was joking with Steve. I was like, I think Jimmy did this on purpose. He got married on the weekend of Rubathon so that every year from now on, they can go to the Rubathon for their anniversary.
Yep. Yep. That's going to be it.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, that was Rubathon.
That sounds like a blast.
It was a lot of fun. It was a different experience. I haven't really done a lot of big off-roading events like that other than like Winter Fun Fest.
Sure.
But I haven't done any big like 5-day camping off-road events before.
Okay.
So it was interesting. Huge shout out to my Jackery battery. It ran, they kept the fridge at 32 to 35 degrees all 5 days. And ran my dad and my uncle's CPAP machines at night.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we ran the battery down to about 20% each morning. And then the solar panel would recharge it because I would unplug it from the fridge at night.
Okay. Yeah.
And the fridge would stay cool at night.
Sure.
And then I plugged it back in the morning to let the fridge run
charge
off of the battery while the battery was charging on the solar panel.
Mm-hmm.
And
you would get to full by the end of the night?
I would get to full by the end of the day.
By nighttime.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
So I was I tested the battery for those 5 days and it worked out great. The battery and solar setup.
That's cool. I'm excited to get my Wagon Tech one.
I'm excited for you to get it too. I really want to kind of compare it to the Jackery and see how it compares. Cause I've had a few people now, inquire on Instagram about my Jackery and solar panel setup and the fridge setup. So I told them, I said, Jackery does a great one. The Wagon Tech one looks really nice as well. So I'm really interested to see how they compare against each other.
Yeah. And if you, I don't know if the deal is still going on, but they're giving 25% off of their systems right now.
Yeah.
And they have like a 300 and 300 watt, 500 watt, and a 1200 watt.
Yeah.
Watt hour batteries. And their overall price is going to be higher than the Jackery, but if you get that 25% off, it's lower than the Jackery's
nice.
Right now. So if they haven't closed that down and you're interested in getting something, I would jump over there ASAP and go check those out.
That's good to know. One other thing I wanted to say, hopefully really quick here, because I want some listener input on it, is the 4Runner temperature, according to the ECU, would get hot still. I replaced the radiator. I put in that aluminum radiator.
Okay.
And I improved the airflow on the fan, the electric fan, and I moved the thermo switch for the fan to the top so that it's always got the hot coolant hitting it first rather than the cooler coolant hitting it at the bottom.
Right.
So that means the fan is going to come on quicker and should keep everything cooler in theory. But the ECU still thinks when I'm climbing grades that I'm hitting 230 to 240 degrees on the temperature.
Okay. So why do you think it's not actually hitting those temperatures?
Because I took my infrared thermometer with me this time and I stressed the engine out and got and had my OBD2 running. So I was able to see what the ECU was seeing.
Okay.
And waited until I got the temperature to 240 degrees, according to ECU, going up Ice House Road.
Okay.
So I stressed out the engine there because I figured that way I'm not on Highway 50 intentionally stressing it out in case I do have an issue. Stressed the engine, got it up to what the computer thought was 240, and then jumped out real quick and read the temperature on the upper radiator hose and the lower radiator hose. The upper radiator hose was 216 degrees and the lower radiator hose was 150.
Hmm.
So what does that mean? Does it mean that my temperature is actually 216 degrees, or is there typically a difference between the coolant temperature coming out of the engine and your upper radiator hose?
Yeah, I don't know. Or is your sensor bad?
Or is my sensor bad? Or is maybe my thermostat bad? If there is typically a difference between the exterior of the hose and what the coolant actually is.
Sure, absolutely.
Then maybe my thermostat is sticking. I haven't pulled the thermostat yet to see if it's just allowing constant flow, but even still, the coolant that's going into the engine after the radiator is around 150 degrees. And so that engine should be around 195 to 205 degrees. That's where it likes to go at. But stressing it out and getting it up to 215, not unheard of. It's not going to damage the engine.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
I'm kind of like, what's going on? So I think I need to either switch out the sensor, test the sensor, or pull the thermostat and look at it. But I'm curious if anybody else has any ideas.
Okay.
Because the cooling system is working.
Right.
The cooling system's working as the radiator, I should say. Everything from the radiator and the fans and everything like that, that's all working properly.
That's interesting. Yeah. So if you have any ideas for Tyler, please write in Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any other inquiries or any other comments, you can always find us on Instagram, snailtrail4x4 or 4x4 Toyota Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a hold of us on Patreon and our if you're on the Patreon Facebook group, you can get a hold of us in a plethora of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always, many, many ways to find us if you have any questions or comments or concerns.
You can give us a call, 916-345-4744. Yeah, we love hearing from you guys. Write in and let us hear from you. So with that, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody?
One hell of a test run there, Kevin Poole.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay.
A pencil isn't my favorite writing tool.
Why not? What is your favorite writing tool?
But it's a solid number two.
Got it. See, that was better than the ruler.